You can use any type of food for an air and any type of food for a sheet with the exception of water or salt. The Mishnah here is referring to an air of tchum. And the halacha is you're not allowed to walk more than 2,000 amos outside the city on Shabbos unless you make an air of tchum. You make an Eretz Kumah of putting down food within the 2,000 amas outside the city, and then you can walk another 2,000 amas from the place where you put down the Eretz. And the Mishnah says you can use any type of food for an Eretz Kumah with the exception of water and salt. And so too, you can use any type of food for a Shitupe Mavot. A Shitupe Mavot is similar to an Eretz, and it allows you to carry from the Chatur into the Mavot. The Mavot is an alley that leads to the Rosh Hashanah, and if there are a number of courtyards that open up into a Mavot, it would be forbidden to carry from the Chatur into the Mavot unless you make a Shitupe Mavot that all the courtyards get together and each one contributes some food and they put that food in one of the courtyards. And the Mishnah says you can use any type of food for a Shitupe Mavot with the exception of water and salt. And the Mephoshim say that this klal is not absolute. And the Gemara teaches us that Eilam Eidim and Aklolos Afilu B'makom Shenemer Behem Chutz. A klal is not absolute, even if it says chutz, even if it lists a few exceptions, but that does not mean to say that there are not other exceptions as well. For example, there are other exceptions to this klal. As the Mephoshim say, you're also not allowed to make an Erev using mushrooms or truffles or other types of fungi. This would also be excluded from the klal, and you cannot make an Erev from any of those type of foods. You can buy any type of food with money of Meiser Sheni. Somebody who separated Meiser Sheni and then redeemed the Meiser Sheni onto money. So you must bring that money to Yerushalayim and buy food with that money, which is to be eaten in Yerushalayim. You can buy any food with the money of Meiser Sheni, with the exception of water and salt. Somebody who makes a neder not to eat muzzin, it would be permitted for him to drink water and to eat salt. Water and salt would not be included in his neder. Now the Mephoshim say we're talking about where somebody said kol hazan alat, any type of zan, any type of sustenance, he will not eat. So all food is included in the neder with the exception of water and salt that does not give him sustenance. However, if he used the word mazon in his neder, then he would be allowed to eat all foods with the exception of the chameshes hamin and the five types of grain. And the word mazon implies that he's only not going to eat five types of grain: wheat, barley, rye, spelt, and oats. However, other foods he would be allowed to eat. But in this case, he said kol hazan alat. So since he used the word zan, which implies any type of sustenance, he's not allowed to eat any type of food with the exception of water and salt. Ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin uli yisrael b'truma. A nazir can make an erev tchumim using wine, and a yisrael can make an erev tchumim using truma. Now, even though you must make an erev tchumim with something that you can eat, and another cannot drink wine, and a Yisrael cannot eat truma. However, since other people could drink wine, wine is fit to be drunk by other people, just another can't drink wine, and a kohen could eat truma, it's only Yisrael that can't eat truma, so it's considered food that is edible, since other people can eat it, and therefore, another can go ahead and make an Erev with wine, and Yisrael can make an Erev with truma. Sumchas Aymer Bechul. Sumchas disagrees. Sumchas holds you can only make an Erev with something that you yourself could eat. So therefore, a Yisrael cannot make an Erev with Truma. He can only make an Erev with Chulin, with things other than Truma. However, Sumchas does not argue that another can make an Erev with wine, even though another cannot drink wine. However, another could go ahead and go to a Chacham and be matir his neder. He can express regret from the neder, and the Chacham would disavow him from the neder. So therefore, since it's possible for another to drink wine by being matir his neder, so therefore, Sumchas holds that another can go ahead and make an Erev with wine. Now, even though you can do the same thing with truma, as when you separate truma, that constitutes a neder. It can go ahead and be matir the neder, and it would go back from being truma. It would no longer be truma if you're matir the neder and express regret that you made it into truma. However, even so, Sumchas would hold that Yisrael cannot make an Erev with truma, as even if he is matir the neder, that he made it into truma, so it will no longer be truma. However, it will revert back to being tevel, produce, that the trumas weren't taken from it, and he wouldn't be allowed to eat it anyway. So therefore, Yisrael cannot make an Erev with truma, according to Sumchas. And the Kohen can go ahead and put that in there, it's chumim in a beis hapras. The beis hapras of the field that had a kever, a grave, and the grave was plowed over. The Chacham were afraid that maybe when the grave was plowed over, a bone that was at least the size of a barley got dragged away from the kever. So therefore, the Chacham did not allow a Kohen to enter the beis hapras, lest he inadvertently step on a bone and move it, and a Kohen is not allowed to be metame to amaze. Now, even though you have to make an Erev in a place that you can reach it, so how could a Kohen go ahead and put down his Erev in a Beis HaPrat since the Kohen is not allowed to enter a Beis HaPrat? So the Mephoshim explained, because a Chachamim would allow a Kohen to enter a Beis HaPrat if he walked very slowly and examined the ground in front of him to make sure there's no bone in front of him. And he should go ahead and blow on the ground to make sure that any small bone gets blown away from where he's going to step. So since a Kohen could enter a Beis HaPrat in that fashion, he would be allowed to put down his Erev in a Beis HaPrat. Rabbi Huda Aymar, I feel it with Beis HaPrat. Rabbi Huda said, a Kohen can even put down his Erev in a cemetery, because a Kohen can enter a cemetery if he creates a chatzitza. If he enters in a box, which creates a separation between him and the kvaros, he can enter the basic kvaros in that way and go ahead and eat the Erev. So therefore, even a Kohen can put down an Erev in a basic kvaros according to Rabbi Huda, since he could reach the Erev if he enters the basic kvaros in a box. However, the Chacham would argue with Rabbi Huda. According to the Chacham, not only is a Kohen not allowed to put down his Erev in a Beis HaKfaros, but even a non-Kohen cannot put down his Erev in a Beis HaKfaros. The reason is because it's also to benefit from a kever. You're not allowed to have any benefit from a grave, and by putting down the Erev in the Beis HaKfaros, you're benefiting from the Kfaros, which is forbidden. While Rabbi Huda would hold that since you're only allowed to make an Erev for a Dvar Mitzvah, you can only put down air if you have to go more than 2,000 amos outside the city for the purposes of a mitzvah. And we have a cloud that mitzvahs lav lehenos ninos. The mitzvahs were not given to us for our benefit. So by putting down the air, you're not benefiting from the kvaros. If you're putting down the air for a mitzvah, and there's no benefit from a mitzvah, so therefore, it would be mutter. While the Chachamim would hold that even though mitzvahs lav lehenos ninos, even though you're not benefiting from the mitzvah, however, by Friday night, Ben HaShmashah, that's when the Erev goes into effect. And after that, even if the food gets lost, you're still allowed to walk 2,000 amos from the place where you put down the Erev. And since the food remains in the Kfaros, even after Friday night, so you're benefiting from the Kfaros, and your food is remaining secure and guarded in the Beis HaKfaros. So therefore, you're benefiting from the fact that your food remains in the Beis HaKfaros, even after the Erev goes into effect. While Rabbi Huda holds that a person who puts down an Erev, once the Erev goes into effect, he doesn't care about that food anymore. He doesn't care even if it gets lost, as he doesn't want the Erev for the purposes of eating the food. He just wants to be able to walk with the 2,000 amos outside the city. So therefore, that's not considered a benefit, that which the food remains secure and safe in the Beis HaKfaros. So he would be allowed to put down an Erev in the Beis HaKfaros, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Erev Paragimel Mishnah Beis Ma'arv and B'tamai. You can make an Erev using Tamai. Tamai is further that was bought for an Amar. And we have a suffix that maybe the Amaris did not take off the Mises from it. And the Rabbanan said that you cannot eat Tamai without taking off the Mises first. Even so, you can go ahead and make an Erev using Tamai. As the Chacham did make a dispensation, they said that an Ani, a poor person, could eat Tamai, even though the Mises weren't taken from it. So since Tamai is fit to be eaten by an Ani, you are allowed to make an Erev using Tamai. Uba Mises Rishon Shenizla Trumas, you can make an Erev using Mises Rishon that the Trumas Mises was taken from it. And after the Mises Rishon is given to the Levi has to take off 10%, which is Trumas Mises, and give it to the Kohen. Now, even though the Truma Gedola wasn't taken from it, you're still allowed to make an Erev using the Mises Rishon. And Truma Gedola is given to the Kohen before the Mises Rishon is taken off. At first, you take off 1/50th from the produce to be given to the Kohen. That's the Truma Gedola. And then you take off 10%. For Mitzvah Rishon and give it to the Levi. Now, if the Levi took the Mitzvah Rishon from the produce before the Truma Gedola was taken from it, you can go ahead and use that Mitzvah Rishon for an Erev, even though the Truma Gedola had not yet been taken. The reason being is that we're talking about where the Levi took the Mitzvah Rishon before the Tvuah, before the grain had been stacked into a pile. And once the grain is stacked in a pile, that's the time to take off the Trumas and Mitzvahs. And if the Levi took the Mitzvah Rishon before the grain was stacked in a pile, even though the Truma Gedola had not yet been taken from it, it would be mutter to eat the Mitzvah Rishon once the Trumas Mitzvah is taken from it. So since it's mutter to eat the Mitzvah Rishon, you can go ahead and make an Erev using Mitzvah Rishon, even though the Truma Gedola was not taken from it before the Mitzvah Rishon was given to the Levi. Uva Mitzvah Sheni v'Hekdish Sheniftu. And you can go ahead and make an Erev using Mitzvah Sheni and Hekdish that had been redeemed. And since it had been redeemed, you would be allowed to eat the Mitzvah Sheni and Hekdish, so you can make an Erev from the Mitzvah Sheni and Hekdish. Now, even though when you redeem Mitzvah Sheni and Hekdish, you have to redeem it at the base value plus an additional fifth. You have to add a chomesh, an additional fifth, to the redemption. Now, even if you had redeemed it without adding an additional fifth, you can still go ahead and make an Erev using the Mitzvah Sheni and Hekdish, as the chomesh is not ma'akeh. Even though you did not add the additional fifth, you're still allowed to eat the Mycenaean and hag dish once it's been redeemed. So therefore, you can make an error of using Mycenaean and hag that had been redeemed, even though it was only redeemed with the principle, and you didn't add an additional step. And a Kohen can make an error using challah and truma. Now, we had in the previous Mishnah that only a Kohen can make an error of using truma, not a Yisrael. Well, some folks argue, some folks hold even a Yisrael can make an error of using truma. However, this Mishnah is not going according to some folks, so the Mishnah says only a Kohen can make an error of using challah and truma. A Yisrael cannot make an error of using challah and truma, since a Yisrael is not allowed to eat challah and truma. Avalo b'teva, but you're not allowed to make an error of using teva. Teva is produce that the truma is a mitzvah. We're not taken from it. Even if the tevel is only midrabbanan, even if the produce that is tevel is only chayv and trumas and ma'asim midrabbanan, for example, the produce grew in a flower pot that did not have a preparation for minas Torah. Since it didn't have a preparation and does not nourish from the ground, you don't have to take off trumas and ma'asim from it. However, the rabbanan would require you to take off trumas and ma'asim, and if you didn't take off trumas and ma'asim, the produce would be regarded as tevel. You would not be allowed to eat it midrabbanan, so you cannot make an error using tevel, even though it's only tevel midrabbanan. Below the Ma'aser Rishon Shelo Nitla Trumato, and not allowed to make an error of using Ma'aser Rishon that the Truma was not taken from it. Now we're talking about Ma'aser Rishon that was given to the Levi, and the Levi did take off Truma's Ma'aser and gave it to the Kohen. However, the Truma Gedola was not taken from it. The Levi took the Ma'aser Rishon before the Truma Gedola was separated, and we're talking about where the grain had already been stacked into a pile. That's the time that you're obligated to take off the Truma's Ma'aser, and since it had already been stacked into a pile, and the Truma Gedola was not taken from it, and the Levi took the Ma'aser Rishon without having the Truma Gedola being taken from it first, it would be forbidden to eat that Ma'aser Rishon before you separate the Truma Gedola, the 1/50th that has to be given to the Kohen. So therefore, you cannot make an error of using Ma'aser Rishon that was given to the Levi before the Truma Gedola was taken from it. Below the Ma'aser Sheni, the Hegdish Shalom Niftu. You cannot make an error of using Ma'aser Sheni or Hegdish that had not been redeemed. And since it had not been redeemed, it's forbidden to eat the Ma'aser and Hegdish. So therefore, you cannot make an error of using Ma'aser and Hegdish that had not been redeemed. And even if it had been redeemed, but it was not redeemed properly according to the halacha. For example, Ma'aser had to be redeemed on stamped money. And if you redeemed it on asimon, a money that is not stamped, that would not be a kosher redemption. So you would not be allowed to use Ma'aser that was redeemed on an asimon. And so too, if you redeem the Hegdish, but you did not redeem it properly. For example, you redeemed it onto karka, onto ground. You used karka as a redemption instead of using metalzalim, movable objects. So that would not be a good redemption. As Chazal learned out, you cannot redeem Hegdish onto karka. So therefore, if you redeem Hegdish on karka, you would not be allowed to eat the Hegdish, and you cannot make an error from it. Somebody wants to make an error to by putting down food within 2,000 amas of the city, and that allows him to walk another 2,000 amas from the place where he put down the food. But he was unable to go himself to put down the food, so he sent the Arab with a deaf mute or an insane person, or a child under bar mitzvah, or he sent the Arab with somebody who does not acknowledge the halachas of Arab, such as a kusi or a suki that denies Torah Shabbat Pan, the halachas of Arab or Abanan. Such an Arab is not a valid Arab. However, that's only with regard to a Ruvei Tchumen. An Arab Chateris could be done through a katan. And a Ruvei Tchumen is more stringent than a Ruvei Chateris, since there's an asmachta in the pasuk, there's a hint of the pasuk to a Ruvei Tchumen. So therefore, a Ruvei Tchumen cannot be done through one of these people. However, if he sent the Arab Tchumen with a Cher Shoyt of a katan, or with a kusi or a stuki, but the Cher Shoyt of a katan himself was not the one to put down the Arab, instead he told a kosher person to receive the Arab from the Cher Shoyt of a katan. And the kosher person was the one who put down the Arab, that would be a valid Arab as long as you actually witnessed the Cher Shoyt of a katan hand over the Arab to the kosher person. Now, even though you did not witness the kosher person putting down the Arab, you could assume that he went ahead and put down the Arab since you asked him to do so. As we have a chazaka, shliach oser shlichuso. When we ask a shliach to do something, we can assume he went ahead and accomplished what you asked him to do. So since you asked the kosher person to put down the Arab for you, even though you didn't actually witness him put it down, you can assume that he went ahead and accomplished it, so you would be allowed to walk 2,000 amas from the place where he put down the Arab.